present Deborah Francis White Rolls the Dice, Episode 1, Half a Can of Worms. Please welcome to the stage, Deborah Francis White!
Hello, hello, hello. For this episode, I'm going to ask the audience who looks like their mum. Just give us a cheer if you look like your mum, because we can't... Yay! Who looks like their dad? Who looks like a mashup of the two, like one of those iPad apps? Does anyone not look like anybody in their family? Oh, what, you're in two minds, sir?
Yes.
You are adopted?
No.
Well, not as far as you know. Because I'm adopted, and not all parents are as honest as mine. I know this because when I was 12 years old, I had a pen pal set up by a mutual family friend. And I wrote to her and said, Uncle Tom said we have something in common because we're both adopted. And she wrote back and said, I'm not adopted. And I wrote back and said, I've checked with Uncle Tom, and you definitely are. Never heard from her again. Now, I was adopted as a newborn baby. So I'd never met anybody or even seen a picture of anybody biologically related to me. Now, my parents always told me, I always knew, they'd say, you're special because we specially wanted you. Some people have children accidentally, not us. We had to fill out a form. And the story went that 9 months later, as long as you would wait for a baby anyway, the phone rang and it was the hospital. And they said, we have a baby girl for you, but you've got to come and get her right now. So my mother and father got in the car and drove 45 minutes away to Redcliffe in Brisbane to collect me. And the first time they saw me, my father always used to say, you were blue with the cold and so thin. Last time that happened, I'll tell you that for nothing. That night we went home for the first time as a family, and my mother had a dream that I should be called Deborah. And that was the story of my adoption. Now, my mother always said I was more like her than her biological children, and this in fact is true. See, my sister and brother were both born the regular way. Now, my mother and I loved stories and literature. My sister was good at maths. Maths was our nemesis. Maths blighted my otherwise academic report card. My sister took 5 years of sewing at secondary school. On purpose. She didn't have to sew, and she sewed anyway. I had to take 6 months of sewing, and at the end of that period, all my samplers were dirty and tear-stained. Like my mother, I had no Blue Peter skills. Now, I adore my sister, but we are total opposites to this day. She lives on a rural Australian vegetarian paradise retreat. I live in Camden Town in London and prefer my steak medium rare. She's always stroking a duck or eating a vegetable. In some ways, I'm like no one else in my family. For example, I am the only performer. My first performance was my end of year nursery school show. I was a horse. Horse number 7. And I remember it very clearly. There were 10 of us little horses doing a little prancy dance. Think Gangnam Style, only I was 3 years old and in a white onesie. And I remember the audience clapping and cheering and laughing. And I remember all the other little horses dancing off. And I remember thinking, this audience is not done with this dance. And this audience is not done with me. So I danced on, and the audience clapped more. And I danced on, and the audience laughed more. And I danced on, and the teacher had to come and lead me away. Also, I was the only one in my family who really, really had an obsession with living in London. Now, I was born and raised in Australia. And I know I don't sound especially Australian, but I read a lot of Enid Blyton as a child, and I picked up the accent from the books. So being a bit different, I couldn't help wondering if there was a biological mother or father or sister or brother like me. And I don't think it matters how successful your adoption is, and my adoption was successful. You can't help wondering what's behind the curtain. And in my case, I wondered, was there a big family of people playing games after supper and laughing? And if I went through the curtain, would they say, oh, it's you. We've been waiting for you. There's a chair with your name on it. Sit down. And when I was 18, I decided to find my birth mother's name. I rang the adoption department in Australia and the lady said,
we can tell you her name, but if she then calls up, we will have to give her your name. Do you want that?
Oh, no, I'm not ready for that. Never mind, don't tell me.
Well, we can tell you some things. We can tell you that she was 21 and single, and your father was 30 and married to someone else.
Now, I knew that. My parents told me that. I think my parents told me that so I'd know she had no choice but to give me up. My mother used to say she must have loved you a lot to give you away, because she wouldn't have wanted to. And the lady seemed almost put out that I knew this. She started shouting random facts at me.
She was 5'9". Did you know that?
I did not. Same as me.
She had brown hair and brown eyes. Did you know that?
I did not. Same as me.
And when you were born, she called you Nadine.
Now, I didn't know that. I didn't even know she gave me a name. I said, thank you for telling me. That's very helpful. I went to hang up when...
Wait! I can tell you her first name, because that's not identifying. But I will have to put you on hold, because that information is in a more secret file. I'm sorry, I can't tell you. You are an exception to the rule.
Why?
Because your birth mother's first name is so unusual as to be identifying.
And I thought, well, there you are. My birth mother is Germaine Greer. I thought it's good she's given me away. She's done so much for the sisterhood. But then a couple of years ago, I found out that my birth mother had never asked my name. And I thought, if she hasn't asked by now, I don't think she's going to. I think I can roll the dice. So I said to the lady, go on, tell me her name. And she said, your birth mother's name is Devon Eulalia Pearl. That's a name, isn't it? Devon Eulalia Pearl. Now, I googled that with a beating heart, but there was nothing. There was a long line of Eulalia Pearls in Devon and Cornwall going back to the 1700s and the censuses. All landed gentry, big houses, lots of servants. Sure, I think we all saw that coming. Touch of the Downton Abs. But no Devon Eulalia anywhere. I googled once a year, every year, but nothing. Until October 23rd, 2012, I did my annual search for her name, not expecting to find anything. And there it was. Someone had archived the electoral records from the time of my birth. Amazingly, I could see that my birth mother, Devon, had been living in Brisbane with her father, Giles, her mother, Audrey, her brothers, Derek and Duncan, and her sisters, Danielle and Deborah. The name my mother had dreamed for me. Coincidence? Almost certainly. Now, I immediately called my mother, who became a Watson to my Sherlock Holmes, or at very least a Penfold to my Danger Mouse. She looked at the address I'd found and said, well, the hospital you were born in was 45 minutes away from here. There were much closer hospitals. Find out if there was an unmarried mother's home there. And I checked, and there was. Now, I went back to the archive website to look for photos. And I found one of a young woman taken in 1914, black and white. Her name was Henrietta Pearl. And I immediately knew that this was the first person I'd ever seen biologically related to me. Why? Eyebrows. Now, most people's eyebrows go straight across or arch over. Not mine. My eyebrows go up and out. Like Henrietta's eyebrows went up and out. This is the first time I'd seen my eyebrows on another human being. Also, I have a very high forehead. My forehead is actually half my face. Now, I disguise that with a sweepy side fringe. And Henrietta Pearl from 1914 knew the same trick! The high-foreheaded woman throughout the ages has understood the value of the sweepy side fringe. As exciting as this was, after a while, Henrietta did seem a bit black and white and dead. And I wanted to see somebody related to me now. And I thought, well, look, Pearl's not a very common name, and Brisbane's not a very big city. Pretty much anyone in Brisbane called Pearl will be related to me. So I went on Facebook, and I clicked. First person to come up was a guy called Clint Pearl. He kind of looked like a surfer dude, and he was wearing a T-shirt that said,
it ain't gonna suck itself.
You don't look. Other people always want you to look. Oh, you should look, because I'm curious. This is why you don't look. And my first thought was that the one advantage of being related to this man would be that I would be legally obliged not to suck it either. So I went to the next person. He was called Bob Pearl, and his profile picture was of a purple boy racer car with a spoiler on the back, and in his albums, he had photos of the open, empty boot. And underneath, one of his friends had written...
Have you got any pictures of that engine bay, mate?
Yeah, mate.
Can you put them up, mate?
I have, mate.
I came off Facebook discouraged. So I just Googled Pearl Brisbane. First person to come up was a guy called David Pearl on LinkedIn. I thought encouraging, got a job. He had the word optimise in his job description 7 times.
I suppose it's not going to optimise itself.
And I didn't know what to do. I was scared to look on. But I couldn't live the rest of my life thinking I'd seen 3 people related to me and they were suck at self-engine bay and optimise. I didn't know what to do. So I did what you would do. I hired a private detective. It was 3 a.m. my time, so they were all wide awake in Australia. I hired the guy based on his name. Jarrus Miller. Job done. Now, how much would you expect to pay for a private detective to find your long-lost family? $150. Job lot! At prices like that, can you afford not to hire a private detective and engage in a soap opera nobody wants? I told Jarrus Miller I didn't want him to contact anyone. I just wanted to find out which ones they were so I could have a look. To be honest, for $150, I would have been pleased if he'd just proved I wasn't related to Suck Itself. And I had one more piece of information for him. I'd found out that my grandfather, Giles Pearl, seemed to have $7,000 in a dormant bank account, according to a list published by the bank on the internet. So Jarrus got on with his private detective work, and I went back to mine. And all I could think about was Henrietta Pearl from 1914. Because if she had these eyebrows, and I have these eyebrows, somebody else called Pearl must have these eyebrows. So this time, I searched very differently. I was just looking for people called Pearl in Australia, and I was only interested in one thing. Eyebrows. Thick eyebrows, thin eyebrows, high eyebrows, low eyebrows, until there she was! Eyebrows that went up and out. Alison Pearl on Facebook. I said to my husband, Tom, that's my cousin Alison. She also had a high forehead, but she didn't know the flicky side fringe trick. But I thought maybe if she had a cousin to teach her, she would. I started going through Alison's photo albums. And, well, apart from the eyebrow thing, we didn't seem to have a lot in common. Like, I mean, she looked fun, but she was spending Christmas in a North Queensland backpackers with guys in mankinis and girls in no-kinis. And listen, no judgment, I get it, but, well, these were people I'd moved hemispheres to avoid because, you know, they just weren't my gang. And I thought, that's because she's my cousin, right? Who's like their cousin? I've probably got a sister out there somewhere. I mean, I must be like my sister. I bet she's living here in London. She's probably like a theatre designer or a fashion designer or something creative but not competitive with me. I will also accept slightly less successful comedian. Now, it was at this point my private detective, Jarrus Miller, called me. He told me he'd found out that my birth mother's married name was Reinhardt. Right, this is it, I thought. If that's her married name, that will be my sister's name. I can find her. I put Reinhardt Australia into Facebook, nothing. I thought, well, that's because she's in London. We've established that. Why would she be in Australia? But there were no Reinhardts anywhere except Germany, where the name was from. I had looked behind the curtain, and there wasn't a big family of people playing games after supper and laughing. There were no siblings at all. And for the first time in my life, I sat down on my bed and I cried about my adoption. And my husband Tom said,
well, maybe your sister got married and changed her name, and that's why you can't find her.
Don't be ridiculous, Tom. You don't start your fashion label up under your married name. I couldn't accept it. I knew I had a sister. I stayed up all night Googling. I found new places to put inverted commas where no one had ever put them before. Until at 3 a.m, there it was, where Devon Eulalia Pearl had disappeared in Brisbane, Australia. Devon Eulalia Neil had popped up in New Zealand. She had married Brad Neil. Of course she had. He probably looked exactly like Brad Pitt. And my fashion designer sister was back on. So I went back to my cousin Alison's profile and I realised I could look through her friends list. She had no privacy settings on Facebook at all. Do check yours because someone in Melbourne could be doing a show about you. Now, she didn't have any friends called Devon, but she did have a friend called Debbie Rich. And I thought that could be my auntie Deborah, Devon's sister. I searched for Debbie Rich Brisbane, and up came hundreds of entries for an incredibly famous one-armed pole dancer. A world champion pole dancer. Now that has got to be a win in the long-lost family lottery. But from the photos, well, there were two. One for the one-armed world champion pole dancer and another for a middle-aged picture framer in Brisbane. And the picture framer's eyebrows went up and out. Boom! So the picture framer is my auntie, but you can't prove I'm not related to the pole dancer. I could still be related to the pole dancer. She could be my cousin. You can't prove that I'm not. Now, it was at this point Jarris Miller called again. Now, he confessed he was wrong about Reinhardt, but proudly announced that Devon had moved to New Zealand.
Noah, called your grandfather.
What? I said no calling people.
Don't worry, I used a cover story.
What? You lied to him? That's worse!
Don't worry, I recorded it. You can hear the whole thing.
Jarris, you can't call people and record them. You can't do that. What are you doing calling people?
You want to hear the recording?
Yes, I do. And it went like this.
Hello, Mr. Pearl. This is Jarris Miller.
Now, that is the worst cover story I've ever heard.
I'm just calling to tell you you have $7,000 in a dormant bank account.
Now I've got it. The bank's already called me.
And Jarris, who's clearly been pretending to be from the bank, seems to panic a bit.
Oh, you've got it, have you? I didn't know you had it, but as long as you've got it, that's good. I had you down on my list as not having got it, but as long as you got it, you've got it. Is there anyone there called Devon?
It really is very poor.
Devon moved to New Zealand years ago.
Do you have an address for her?
Good news for the jeans. 92 years old, sharp as a tack. So I fired my private detective, because, let's face it, the man was a loose cannon. Instead, I start going through Debbie's friends list on Facebook, Auntie Debbie the picture framer. And she does know someone called Devon Charlin, but her privacy settings are super high. So I search Devon Charlin, New Zealand. And there's one match on the whole of the internet, a picture of a woman, the right age. She's wearing glasses and she's got a fringe, so I can't do the eyebrow thing. And I guess it could be my birth mother, but I don't feel anything when I see her. I mean, I know not everyone looks like their mother, but I think if you're adopted, you should. And the weird thing is that this photo is on a website for a primary school in rural New Zealand. She lives rurally. Furthermore, it says that she is the financial manager of the primary school. So she lives rurally and she does maths for a living. Surely that can't be my birth mother. But then I see this same Devon Charlin has an account on Pinterest, which is a scrapbook website where you pin pictures of things you like. And her username on this site has a number at the end of it. And that number correlates with my birth mother's birthday. So it's got to be her, isn't it? It's definitely my birth mother. And I can see she's pinned 16 things on her page, and I'm one click away from seeing what they are. So I clicked, and there they were. 16 things. 16 things my birth mother loved enough to put on Pinterest. Each and every one. A patchwork quilt! 16 patchwork quilts! 16 patchwork quilts! So she lives rurally, she does maths for a living, and for fun, she does sewing! It is like I have found my sister's birth mother. Now, she'd also liked 13 things. You know how we have to like everything on the internet now. I clicked. I mean, to be honest, I wasn't hoping for much. And I saw something she'd liked on Pinterest that made my blood run cold. Because she'd liked a quotation that read,
"Good mothers have messy kitchens, sticky floors, overflowing washing baskets, and happy children."
And you could add, "Don't give their babies to strangers." For the first time in my life, I felt angry about my adoption. I mean, clearly she'd been a good mother to somebody, stitching them quilts to keep them warm, and she'd obviously forgotten about me. And I thought, I'm definitely not going to call her now. I mean, I feel nothing when I see her. We've got nothing in common. And now I'm actually feeling angry about the whole thing. That's it. Only trouble was, well, I had started writing this show. I mean, you can't for a show, can you? That would be the wrong thing to do. I mean, comedians are terrible people. It is the kind of thing they do all the time, but you can't, can you? I mean, audiences are terrible people too, because you all hope I did that. And suddenly I had to ring up there and then. I didn't have Devon's number, but I had my Auntie Debbie's, the picture framer. I looked at the number, I looked at the phone, and I thought, well, it ain't gonna suck itself. So I dialed.
Hello, Debbie here.
Hi, Debbie. My name's Deborah. Before we speak, could I just check that your maiden name was Pearl?
Yes.
And do you have a sister called Devon, about 10 years older?
Yes.
I don't want to shock you, Debbie, but I think I'm the baby that Devon gave away.
What makes you think that?
Because I am. Does Devon ever talk about me? Does she ever say she hopes I'll call? Or she hopes I won't?
Devon never gave away a baby.
Weren't you living in the house with her at the time?
Yes, but she never had a baby back then. She went to live in a flat for a while.
No, she didn't. She went to live in an unmarried mother's home. Oh, God.
She's not in New Zealand. She's here visiting our father. He's not well. He's got a heart condition. He's 92. I'll go over there. I'll tell her your story. And I'll call you back in 2 hours.
Hello?
Well, apparently your story does check out. Devon does remember this incident. She says she's excited to talk to you. She's been waiting for this phone call all her life. And she'll call you in 10 days when she gets back to New Zealand.
And I was so thrown by excited in 10 days, such unlikely bedfellows. All I could say was, Debbie, can you just tell me one thing? Do I have a sister called Jo living in Spain?
Well, no, not that I know of. But I'm learning a lot of things today. You do have 3 sisters, though, and one of them lives in Scotland.
10 days. I could have something terminal. I could have 9 days to live. I've got a good mind to leave a message on my answering machine saying, too late, I died yesterday. My friend Monica is staying with me. Don't answer it. Don't answer it, Monica. It's her.
It can't be her. It's only day 5.
It's her. My landline never rings, and when it doesn't ring like that.
It's Devon here. I was too excited to wait. If you call me back on this number, we could have a chat.
Don't answer it.
What? It can't be her again. She's just left a message.
Of course it can't.
Hello?
It's her.
Oh, I thought you weren't there. I've just left a message.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. I was in the shower. First thing I say to my birth mother is a lie. I think, oh, well, if she'd raised me, I would have lied to her hundreds of times by now.
I just wanted to have a chat.
Oh, I've got to go out in about 20 minutes because I've got to go and do a comedy gig.
Oh, you're a comedian. Maybe you could talk about me in your comedy.
You've got no idea. Now, I assured her I'd had a happy childhood and was having a good life, and she said...
Oh, I live very rurally here in New Zealand.
I know.
I'm the financial manager of a primary school.
I know.
I make patchwork quilts.
I know. But I realised I should probably ask a question I didn't know the answer to. Was it hard to give me away?
Oh, I don't know, really. It was a long time ago. I suppose it was, but I can't remember. My parents just said I had to. It was just the way it was.
It was a bit like ringing up any woman at random in the New Zealand phone book and saying, pleased with all your life decisions, are you? Nothing you regret? Do my sisters know about me?
Oh, no, it's never really come up.
Well, they're not going to bring it up, are they?
I'll tell them now. It's just never been a good time.
Debbie said I have a sister living in Scotland. I go up to the Edinburgh Festival every year to do comedy.
Oh, yes, Kate's been to that festival.
I thought, there you are. It's Kate who's like me. Kate, she's probably like a performer. She probably lives in Edinburgh. Does Kate live in Edinburgh?
Oh, no, she's very rural. She's more rural than me. You can look her up on the map if you like, but there's only 2 houses.
We agreed to speak again at the weekend. And that night, I looked for Kate Neal, my sister, living in Scotland, on Facebook, where it said she worked for Barnardo's. I clicked the link... And it said, it's National Adoption Week. Let Barnardo's help you adopt a child. And I thought, so when you say it's never come up, how about when your daughter starts working for Barnardo's saying, funny story? It's the weekend. It's her.
I've been looking at you on YouTube. You're so funny. You're hilarious. I said to my husband, do you think I could be funny like Deborah? And he said, no.
She sent me pictures of herself by email while we were talking on the phone. I look a lot like her. Devon, I look a lot more like you here than I do of you in that picture on the internet.
What picture?
The one on your school's website. I sent her the link.
That's not me. That's the administrative assistant. That's been mislabeled.
Who's been mislabeling these pictures? Do they not know people are looking for their birth mothers? I cried because I felt nothing for that woman. Turns out I felt nothing for the administrative assistant. The next day, I had an email from Devon. She wrote, I'm happy you had a wonderful childhood, but I am filled with loss and regret for what might have been. And as soon as she said it, I didn't want her to feel it. I wrote back and said, Devon, You roll the dice for sure, but you have children and grandchildren who love you and need you, and my parents were given a baby that they wanted and cherished, and I am having a happy and exciting life. You rolled the dice for sure, but you rolled a double six for all of us. Don't be sad about that. And she wrote back and said, I've decided I must have made the right decision after all, because if I hadn't given you away, you wouldn't be the person you are, and I just love who you've become. And I rang my mother and I told her that, and as I did, I realised it was a message. One mother to another. Well done. And my mother took it that way. And she said, well, you tell Devon from me thank you, because you were the best present we ever got. And that was it. We were out. We'd done it. Oh, we would have, except Devon knew I was doing this show, so she tried to help. Now, her husband is a genealogist. He does family trees as a hobby. I know, it's on the nose, it's too much, but he does. So she started telling me helpful stories about the family, like, now, I have a great-great-grandfather who was a highwayman, sent to Australia as a convict, and he was a terrible highwayman. He held up a coach and robbed a woman who had lots of cash on her, but he didn't take any of that. He took 3 and 6 and 2 silver thimbles. I thought, bloody hell, even he likes sewing. This also meant I saw a card written by my grandmother Audrey. Now, I look more like Audrey than anyone, and she died in the 1990s. And this card that she had written, well, it was in my handwriting. So that night I couldn't sleep, and it was very late. And I saw that Devon was awake in New Zealand, her little green light glowing on Facebook, so I instant messaged her, hi. And she said, shouldn't you be asleep? 20th of November, 2012, 3:24 a.m., the first moment when my first mother ever mothered me. And for the first time, I decided to trust her. I asked her, do you think Audrey would have liked me? And she said, oh, Deborah, how could anyone not like you? I already love you. Then she said, your sisters are so excited about you. My sisters, Kate, Emma and Mel, Bernardo's worker, a teacher and a beautician who specialises in eyebrows. I phoned my sister Kate in Scotland.
Oh, we're so happy you found us. Mum's so happy. But do you want to meet up?
I'd love to. How about January?
Oh, I'm going home to New Zealand for Christmas. I'll still be there in January. We'll all be there.
Will you? How do you think everyone would feel if I came over in January?
Oh, Deborah, you've got to!
Kate, can you just tell me one thing? This is going to sound weird. Do you ever play games after supper?
Sure. Mum makes us play games all the time.
Then I'll come. So I bought a plane ticket for New Zealand, went to the airport and rolled the dice.
You've been listening to Deborah Frances White Rolls the Dice. It was written and performed by Deborah Frances White. You also heard Tom Tuck, Celia Pecola, and Alex Lowe. The programme was produced by Alan Nixon and was a So Radio production for BBC Radio 4.